You are listening to the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in. It's the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase here joining you. Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the show. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for tuning in as we continue to dive into the Philadelphia Eagles trade for wide receiver Golden Tate, which happened yesterday before the NFL trade deadline, which, look, again, I thought was a really successful trade deadline. It's not up to par with the NBA quite yet, or with the NHL, where you're seeing a lot of player-for-player trades, a lot of big stars moving around. But I thought yesterday was very successful for the NFL and the trade deadline, and I think a lot of it has to do with compensatory picks. I think it's helped make the league much more aggressive, and that's awesome because it's getting more aggressive on the field and off the field as well right now. And part of that is in good credit to Howie Roseman. And look, he did it yesterday. He ended up making one of the big trades, and you saw Golden Tate was the name that came to Philadelphia. Clinton Dix going to Washington. Dante Fowler got traded to the Rams. Demaryius Thomas to the Texans. So there were buyers, there were sellers, and it was a big day for the NFL, and I really enjoyed the trade deadline. I'm a big, big fan of deadlines, trade deadlines in the other leagues, in basketball and in hockey, and it was exciting yesterday for the first time at an NFL trade deadline. I'm glued to Twitter. I'm glued to my computer, listening to the radio, you know, waiting. Keep updating the Locked On Eagles tracker, which thanks to everyone who kept checking that out yesterday as we continued to update the tracker on LockedOnEagles.com, which you can always find our written content up there as well as our podcast on the mothership. But yeah, it was a super fun one. And of course, it's a lot better because the Eagles made a move. And I would have been a little bit disappointed if the Eagles didn't make a move, because I think this team, despite being 4-4, is still a contender in the NFL. I told Gino yesterday, and if you missed our initial recap of the Golden Tate trade yesterday, you can go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, any podcast platform that you use. We are up and available on there. And I told Gino, despite being 4-4, with the way Carson Wentz is playing, and with a couple plays away from being 6-2, I still wanted Howie Roseman to be a buyer yesterday, and not maybe not be a seller, but even if he just didn't do anything and sat with the roster he had and didn't want to give up any draft picks, I thought it would have been a mistake, especially with the compensatory picks, you know, era in the NFL. To me, it makes perfect sense to go out and be more aggressive now, and especially with 2 second-round picks. Howie Roseman realized that, and you don't normally see rental players in the NFL, but that's what the Eagles might be getting with Golden Tate. But I still think it's the right move, because I told Gino yesterday, I don't think the Saints and the Rams are really the only two teams that, to me, are a threat to the Eagles in the NFC. I'm not scared of Washington in the NFC East, despite being 5-2. Truthfully, I think they're the fakest 5-2 team I've ever seen. There's not a player on that roster that's scary. They play great as a unit. Their defense is really good, and Alex Smith doesn't turn the football over. And Adrian Peterson's kind of had a reawakening. But they don't scare me at all, really, for the Eagles. The Eagles are clearly still the best team in the NFC East, and in the NFC, I think the Eagles now with Golden Tate can go toe-to-toe with the Rams offense and with the Saints offense. And that's what I loved about Howie, was he just kept building around Carson Wentz, and he didn't get complacent with the offense. And look, that's what you got to do. The Saints, the Chiefs, the Rams, they don't stop. The Patriots, they never stop building around their star quarterback, Tom Brady, consistently. Even when it looks like he doesn't have a lot of weapons, Bill Belichick goes out and he trades for Josh Gordon. So the Eagles, you know, they have a lot of weapons. They have Zach Ertz, who's on pace to break records as a tight end. He's going to break Jason Witten's receptions record if he keeps up the pace, and he's going to come close to Rob Gronkowski's 1,300-yard record total for a tight end that he set in 2011. So you got Zach Ertz and Alshon Jeffrey and Dallas Goedert and Nelson Aguilar playing really well as your young weapons. But they didn't stop with that, because despite the Eagles being 4-4, Roseman got Golden Tate for Carson Wentz, because Carson Wentz made him, and he's making everybody believe that the Eagles can still win this year, despite all the struggles up front on the offensive line, with penalties, with injuries. You look on the defensive side, the collapses in the fourth quarter, just the inconsistency of the offense as well, and the play calling. There's a lot of problems that have happened in the first half of this Eagles season, but one of them has not been Carson Wentz, and that's your quarterback, your franchise, the face of your franchise. has not been an issue. And whenever that's the case, not only has he not been an issue, but he has been your biggest asset since he's come back off that torn ACL, coming in week three, beating the Colts. Since then, he has looked, honestly, he's been better than what he was last year. And I know it was only his second year, so it seems like, yeah, he should improve every year. But it did not look like you could get much better than what he was last year, and yet he is. And that's the thing. When you have a quarterback playing this good, eventually the rest of the roster is going to figure it out. But Howie Roseman believes in Carson Wentz. He even said it yesterday in the press conference, we're going to keep our foot on the gas pedal. And even at 4-4, look, it'd be different if you could just tell that not only if they didn't have the talent they have around Wentz, because they have the majority of their Super Bowl core still intact. So if they didn't have that talent, it would make sense, even though with Wentz, that you might not want to build all in on this year and give up a third-round pick, which could help Wentz in the future with an offensive or defensive player. But you have that talent, and you also are in it right now. You're at 4-4, and you're in it still. You know, the team should be better than what their record shows. So you add all that with Carson Wentz playing the way he is, you have to capitalize on the year he's having. Because they're going to figure it out. And Wentz is still winning them games despite that. I mean, that Jaguars game, they probably could have lost. I was expecting them eventually in that fourth quarter, that defense to cave in. I was just waiting for it to happen. But Carson Wentz didn't let it happen. He's going to be an MVP candidate this year. And you have to capitalize when your quarterback is playing that well. And that's why I would have been really frustrated, and these podcasts would be different the past 2 days, if Howie Roseman didn't make a move, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Could they use safety help or corner? Sure. Although I really like what they're getting from Avante Maddox and Rasul Douglas. And when Sidney Jones comes back, I think the defensive backs core is going to be fine. It's more so the scheme that's bothering me with the defense. Darby and Mills haven't been great, but you scheme around it. Your young guys are playing well. The offense was where they needed to adjust, talent-wise. Because you always should just keep adding your talent to your quarterback. And they haven't been efficient. Look, they've been moving the ball. They've been getting yards. But red zone inefficiency has also been an issue with this team. And Golden Tate is going to help in that aspect as well. I just love that Howie Roseman continued to be aggressive. And, you know, you're looking for a fun day at the deadline. A lot of teams like the Buffalo Bills aren't moving LeSean McCoy. And the Patriots didn't make a move. But you can always count on Howie Roseman to be exciting. Just as a fan, it's fun to have Howie Roseman as your GM because you love trades. Gino said it yesterday, and me too. I remember where I was almost for every Eagles trade. Let me just pull some out. The Sam Bradford, Nick Foles trade, I was in front of my TV at my old house and in the family room waiting because I thought that the Eagles were going to move up for Mariota. And I remember sitting on my couch having almost a temper tantrum. I was a younger kid. And I was miserable, and I still remember where I was for that. I remember being at school in the library, running around screaming in the quote-unquote quiet quad when the Eagles moved up to pick number 2 to eventually take Carson Wentz. So it's awesome just to be a fan of the Eagles when Howie Roseman's the GM because he's aggressive, but he's responsible with it as well. Because even if Golden Tate is just a rental player, you still get 8 games and hopefully the playoffs of a bona fide a fringe wide receiver 1. When you look at the numbers, he is a wide receiver 1. You're getting 8 games of that. If you don't re-sign him, which it's going to be tough with everyone else they have to sign, say they do, that'd be great. But I'd rather, you know, there's some other priorities that the Eagles need to take care of, like Jordan Hicks and getting Carson Wentz paid. And truthfully, I'd rather invest in the 26-year-old Nelson Aguilar than Golden Tate. But regardless, if they don't keep him, yeah, you give up a third-round pick. But in the compensatory pick formula in 2020... you're probably going to get a more likely a fourth than a third, but you're going to get a mid-round pick back. So you're really just moving the pick back for Golden Tate. I love it. I love what Howie Roseman did. I thought it was a great move. And now Carson Wentz has basically 2 wide receiver ones. Golden Tate consistently, the past 4 years, has surpassed 90 receptions. He's at 1,000 yards almost every single season in Detroit. He had a 1,300-yard season his first year with the Lions, replacing Calvin Johnson, which was a big shoes to fill. So you have that with Alshon Jeffrey, who is a wide receiver 1. You add them to Dallas Goedert and then Nelson Aguilar, your young core. And then I forgot to mention the elite tight end you have in Zach Ertz, who, again, like I said at the beginning of the show, is going to break records. My gosh, with how good Carson Wentz is playing already, the sky is the limit for the second half of the season. And Tate fills a need. Tate has 9 plays of 20 plus yards this year. You don't have to be a home run hitter to make deep plays. You know, you see it with Alshon Jeffrey. Alshon Jeffrey's not a home run hitter, but he still makes plays down the field with his size, with his route running, with his use of leverage. Nelson Agholor does it with his speed and explosion. But Golden Tate does it with his run after the catch ability. He's the rat king in the NFL. He is fast. He's about as fast as Nelson Agholor. He has nine plays of 20 plus yards this year. You don't have to be a home run hitter to do that. Because when you get the football in your hand and you catch a 15-yard pass, Golden Tate has the ability to take that to the house or take it an extra 35 yards. That's what you're getting in Golden Tate. Last week in Jacksonville, the Eagles got a lot of plays of 30-plus yards. They got those plays down the field. I think it was about five of them, which is really good. But before that, the Eagles were lacking in that area because outside of Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz, who you can't consistently rely on to make those big, big plays, you can always rely on them to make plays in the red zone and to be consistent for you, but you're not always going to have them be burners and getting behind the defense. But Golden Tate, you complement that to Nelson Agholor, who has five 20-plus yard plays this year. Alshon has four. That's just going to open up so much for Carson Wentz, and it's going to open up so much for the other receivers. I love the move, even if they can't keep him. Even if they can't keep him and they prioritize other players in free agency, which I think they should. I would love to keep Golden Tate, but if they don't and say they decide to rather keep Nelson Agholor and then decide to draft a wide receiver in the draft, and you're going to get a compensatory pick back for Golden Tate eventually, I still think it's a great move for eight games because this Eagles team, to me, still at 4-4, is going to make the playoffs, and I will take them over anybody. Even like the Saints and the Rams should be favored over the Eagles right now. The Eagles have some stuff to figure out still, even after that win against Jacksonville. But the Eagles, to me, going on the road to New Orleans, and we're going to see them play both the Saints and the Rams this year in the second half of the season, so we'll know where we're at. But they're going to play those two teams this year. And in the playoffs, I'm still very confident in this team going on the road and beating those two teams. There's not a lot of teams that have the weapon core of the Eagles right now. Again, Alshon Jeffrey, Golden Tate. Golden Tate, 90 receptions in four straight years. Only Antonio Brown has done that. You add that with Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz is on pace for almost 1,300 yards and over 120 catches. And Dallas Goedert is really getting it going. And Nelson Agholor, this is going to make Nelson Agholor be more of a use down the field as a vertical threat, which he hasn't been used so far this year. And with Agholor and Tate, you have this complementing factor of you're going to use Tate for reverses, then sometimes you're going to push him on the outside, and Agholor's going to go inside, and you're going to try to get some rack ability out of Agholor like you've been doing, try to get him in space with reverses and encounters and quick passes. And then the defense is going to have to switch up their formations when Agholor moves inside and Tate goes on the outside and vice versa. And then with Ertz in the slot as well, they do a lot of the same things, but they're very well-rounded targets. And it's just, I can't wait to see what Doug Peterson does with this offense and how creative he can get now with Golden Tate in the mix. It's just, it's awesome. All the weapons that Carson Wentz has right now. And with how he's playing, let's go Rams, let's go Saints. This Eagles team's going to be ready for that. I really think they are. This is the Lockdown Eagles podcast, sponsored today by MyBookie. Guys, ever since I started this podcast, people have always asked me for advice, and usually it's on what team to bet. And really, the truth is, I don't know who's going to win. You do not want me picking your win-loss column. But if you think you know, you got to go out and check out MyBookie. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is really easy to use. So lay down some cash and win big today. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under and how many fantasy points a player will score each game. So join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Just use the promo code LOCKDOWN and visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKDOWN when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, and you get paid. MyBookie will match the listener's first deposit 100% up to $1,000. All right, everybody, welcome back to today's edition of Lockdown Eagles. Happy Halloween, everybody. Today is Wednesday, October 31st. Hey, go check out a quick shameless plug. LockdownEagles.com. I'm putting out the scariest, the spookiest Eagles lineup of all time, made up of 2000s Eagles and above, just because I think it's guys that most people remember more than the past Eagles, and it's going to be fun. Putting together, it's not a good spooky team, not like the scariest team like Carson Wentz and DeSean Jackson. It's the opposite. It's the scariest team put together with a collection of awful Eagles. So that's going to be up on Lockdown Eagles later on tonight. So go check out LockdownEagles.com for that piece. But happy Halloween, everybody. And speaking of scary, The Eagles offense is going to be scary with Golden Tate. It really is going to. And look, you guys know, you've listened to this show before. For those that are new listeners, welcome to the show. And if you haven't listened to past Locked On Eagles, I was very big on adding a running back after Jay Ajayi went down. I don't think Wendell Smallwood is someone that can carry the load. I like Josh Adams. I like his potential as a big bruising back that can be kind of your LeGarrette Blount or Jay Ajayi replacement. I like Corey Clement, but he's not been the same. I wanted a guy that could take over if the Eagles needed. But so I wanted a LeSean McCoy. I did. I thought adding someone like I brought up the name Kenyon Drake if Miami ever made him available, or a young player that could be great in the run game and the pass game. It was something that I was looking out for. But adding a wide receiver instead of Golden Tate's magnitude, or if it was going to be DeSean Jackson, right? Or say they added a Robbie Anderson. But Golden Tate is better than anyone that was on the market. Again, he is a wide receiver one, and he's probably the most underrated. Is he one of the more under? He's got to be one of the most underrated receivers in football. I mean, the numbers he puts up, I think it's probably because he was in Detroit, and not a lot of people talk about the Lions. And in Seattle before that, he put up a 900-yard season the year before he went to Detroit in an offense that, outside of the Super Bowl against the Patriots on the one-yard line, normally ran the football more so than any other team. So Golden Tate is a fringe wide receiver one. The numbers he puts up is a wide receiver one. They're better numbers than Alshon Jeffrey, and I think Alshon Jeffrey's a wide receiver one. So it made sense to invest in the passing game with a guy of that magnitude, because I think the ceiling of having Golden Tate added to this offense would have been greater than, say, you added a running back like Carlos Hyde, right, or a TJ Yeldon, or say they made a trade for Jordan Howard. That would have been awesome, and I would have loved that as well. But even LeSean McCoy might not have the impact that Golden Tate's going to have on this offense. The ceiling, when you have an elite passing game, is greater than when you have a well-balanced passing game and run game. That's the thing. I mean, look at the number, especially with how the not only because of how well Carson Wentz is playing right now, when you add another weapon of Golden Tate's talents, of course that's going to be able to match the Saints and the Rams and the Patriots again, if we have to come to that, which I can't wait if we do. But not only that, but because of the way the NFL is going, because of the rule changes, and because of the just prolific numbers in this season for offensive passing numbers, you look at how many quarterbacks there are that are having great years. Even guys like Mitch Trubisky are having strong years because it's a lot easier to throw the football. The coaching is getting better. The offensive schemes are getting more diverse. It's harder for defenses to be really good with the rules. It's just the NFL is going more towards a scoring college football-esque type of league. So that's why it makes perfect sense, too, to max out that ceiling. So yeah, you might struggle. You might not have that go-to starting running back this year. And you could use one. But how good the offensive line has played against the run this year, I mean, for all we're saying about Jason Peters eventually being a cap casualty, he was a mauler against the run in London playing the Jaguars. They've been great in the run, and that's going to help out the running backs of Corey Clement and Josh Adams and Wendell Smallwood. And I'm waiting for – eventually Corey Clement's going to get going, if you ask me. 12 carries for 12 yards, he's either not healthy or he's really struggling, and I expect a bounce back because I thought he was going to have a big second year. And Josh Adams averaging 6 yards a carry. This passing game is going to open up stuff for those runners, and so is this offensive line. So I would rather – at this point, I'm leaning towards, yeah, I would have rather had a Golden Tate than LeSean McCoy. Because of the number, I mean, just look out some numbers I pulled up here for passing stats in the 2018 NFL season. There are 13 quarterbacks on pace for 30 passing touchdowns, and 8 others are going to be in the mid-20s, which is good. If you get around, you know, 20, 23-plus touchdowns, odds are you had a really good year. There's not a lot of teams that throw for 30 passing touchdowns. Carson Wentz broke the Eagles' record last year with 33. He broke the single-season record. So even the Eagles before that have only hit 30-plus passing touchdowns a couple times. 13 are going to do it, or on pace to do it, at the halfway point this season. And 8 others are going to be in the mid-20s. Only 3 teams last year threw for over 30 passing touchdowns. The Eagles were one of those teams with the combination of Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. 13 quarterbacks this year on pace to do that. 13. 10 more than last year. There are 20 teams that are going to pass or come really close to passing 4,000 passing yards. Last year, there were 7. That number is going to go up by it's on pace to roughly go up by 13 teams that are going to surpass 4,000 passing yards. Seven did it last year. 20 are on pace to do it this year. Another stat for you. There were only nine teams that completed 64% or higher of their throws last year. This year, 21 teams are on pace to surpass 64 or hit exactly 64% of their throws. And only two of those teams, mind you, too, because the Sam Brad, I don't like riding and dying with completion percentage because guys like Sam Bradford break records in completion percentage, but they're dumping off swing passes on 3rd and 13, hashtag short of the sticks. But this year, with all those 21 teams on pace to surpass that 64% completion percentage, two of those teams are under 7 yards per attempt, only two. And one is the Tennessee Titans, who were the dead last team, the 21st team that I mentioned. So offenses are taking shots. They're completing those shots. Things are opening up because of defenses, because they can't do what they used to be able to do. Because, to me, quarterbacks are just better right now. We're close to a golden era of quarterbacking right now. When we're talking about guys like Cam Newton having an amazing year, and no one's talking about it because there's so many quarterbacks like Pat Mahomes right now blowing up. And, of course, your typical Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady types. And then the Jared Goffs of the world and Carson Wentz. Even Carson Wentz is not getting the love he deserves for the numbers he's putting up. He's completing 70% of his throws. 70%, 70.7. Almost 1,800 passing yards, 13 touchdowns and two picks. And even Carson Wentz isn't getting talked about as much as he should because that's how good offenses are in football right now. It's a great time to be an NFL fan, and it's a great time, a great opportunity to have Golden Tate added to your offense with those numbers that offenses are putting up, with how good Carson Wentz is playing, with the weapons they already have. And you have a great play caller in Doug Peterson who, to me, is probably, outside of Sean McVay, the best in football. He made that statement last year. He didn't say it, but he made that statement with his coaching down the stretch with Nick Foles. And even before that with Carson Wentz, because you saw how different it was. Even this year, I think it's been up and down, but I think he's been held back with what he wants to do with execution and with injuries. And now you add Golden Tate to this offense. You're going to let him get creative with what he can do with Tate, Aguilar, Ertz, and Alshon, and Dallas Goedert? I don't care if they don't have a star running back. Whatever. They're still averaging right now as a rushing offense. They're still 17th. They're about right smack dab in the middle of a rushing offense with 853, averaging about 106 per game. The running game should be a compliment to you anyway. I just really want to have that closer that when the Eagles want to put a team on ice like they did last year against, let's say, the Chargers, right when they did it with Blunt and with Clement and with Smallwood, I want to have that ability. Hopefully Josh Adams can be that guy for you, that big body that Doug Peterson mentioned when he mentioned Blunt's name with Josh Adams. Hopefully Clement can get it going. Even if they don't, and it continues to be a featured role of Wendell Smallwood with Josh Adams sprinkled in there. I mean, Adams averaged 6 yards a carry last week, and he was good against the Colts in Week 3 when he was featured in that game as well. So, and I'm still a believer in Corey Clement. So yeah, would I like LeSean McCoy? Absolutely. 100%. But with how good this passing game can be now with Golden Tate, that's why someone asked me on Twitter before the deadline, would you rather have DeSean Jackson or LeSean McCoy? I've been saying running back over receiver because of how many weapons the Eagles already have, but then I'm just thinking to myself, oh my gosh, you add that next weapon in the passing game with what you already have? Oh man, you might as well, I mean, you're going to be elite in that area. You should just go all in on that. It was tempting, and the Eagles bought in. And they got a better receiver than DeSean Jackson. They did. They got a better receiver than DeSean Jackson. They got a receiver that is not talked about a lot as a bona fide wide receiver one, and he's probably going to get paid like that next year. That's why I'm not really expecting Tate to come back next year, because a team like, let's say, the Buffalo Bills, who need a wide receiver and have a ton of cap space, a team like that's going to want to pay him. Or say a team like, let's say, the Arizona Cardinals want to pair someone up with Christian Kirk and give their young quarterback a Golden Tate-type player. Golden Tate's a great player for a young quarterback because he can take a 5-yard pass and turn it into a 40-yard pass. So he's probably going to cash in next year. He is 30 years old, but his production has not slowed down. In fact, it's stayed steadily as a 90-plus receptions guy. with 1,000 yards. He's on pace for 1,000 yards again this year and 6 touchdowns. He has 20-plus yard plays this year. So I totally understand Howie Roseman wanting to go all in on the passing game. It makes perfect sense with the way the offenses in the NFL are going this year. 13 quarterbacks are on pace for 30 touchdowns. Only 3 teams did that last year. 20 teams on pace for 4,000 passing yards. 7 did that last year. 21 teams are going to complete 64% or more of their throws. And only 2 of them are averaging under 7 yards in an attempt. It's a great time to be a football fan in the NFL, and it's a great time to be an Eagles fan. And I can't wait. You got a bye week now. Let Doug Peterson and Mike Groh figure out, and Carson Wentz, how they can use Golden Tate with this offense. It's going to be such a fun time to watch. We'll see how it works. Let's take one more break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. We'll come up next, wrap it up, get into some talk about how I think the Eagles might be ready to rip off a run, and then we'll wrap up the show. This is Louis DiBiase, Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back to the final segment of today's edition of Locked On Eagles. Happy Halloween. My costume was going to be if I went to a party tonight, although I didn't have the time to get it, but I was thinking about putting together a Philly special type of costume where one person's Nick Foles, one person's Corey Clement, or it had to be a 4-man job, and it just wasn't going to work. I don't live in Philadelphia, so look, Gino, he lives in Buffalo. He's an Eagles fan. We have quite the number of Eagles fans up here, actually, but in my friend group, most people are Bills fans up here, so I was going to be Nick Foles. Couldn't get Corey Clement, Doug Peterson, and Trey Burton together, so it was a flop. But that would have been my Halloween costume tonight. But speaking of scary, like I said before, you know, tonight's Halloween. The Eagles offense. What's your costume? I'm the Eagles offense. I'm terrifying. Because that's what they're going to be. And it's Dallas week next week. Golden Tate, the numbers he put up against the Cowboys last game this year. Over 100 yards. Big touchdown. Shredded that Cowboys secondary. He's going to fit in perfectly with this city. The city loves that kind of player. The gritty, big personality. He's funny. Touchdown celebrations are going to be cool to watch. He's fast. He runs tough. I just think the Eagles are going to love him. I really do. And even if it's for only 8 games, it was a great trade for a third-round pick. When you have 2 seconds already this year, you still have 3 picks in the first 2 rounds, and you're going to get a compensatory pick back. Man, I love it. I think the Eagles are ready to rip off a run, guys. I do. I think with Golden Tate now on this offense, you get Timmy Jernigan possibly coming back soon. I mean, they hinted at it with releasing Bruce Hector. Howard Eskin of Sports Radio 94 WIP, he mentioned that Timmy Jernigan could be back as soon as next week. So you had Timmy Jernigan in the middle next to Fletcher Cox. You get Sidney Jones back healthy eventually. You have 4 divisional games in the next 5 weeks. I think this could be the change of the season. I do. I've been waiting for it to happen this year because I keep seeing that 2017 team and this 2018 team. I think with Golden Tate now, you get Jernigan and eventually Sidney Jones back. You got your division games coming up in the next month, and I think they should rip off all of those, truthfully. I think they're better than every team in the NFC East by a lot, by a long shot. Washington is not someone that I really fear. And they're at 5-2, so the Eagles got to come back. I mean, they're only 1 down in the win-loss, or in the win column, but in the loss column, they're down 2. So they got to catch up, but you play them this month. You play the NFC East. Get those division wins. Then they play the Saints, too, in a couple weeks. That's a big test as well. But I think last year was the Panthers game, right, when they went to 5-1. And then they ripped off those, just went down, dominating down the stretch, got to 13-3. They're at 4-4 now. That win in Jacksonville, that was a big boost across the pond, closing it out in the fourth quarter. That was the Carson Wentz game. That was really his statement game, like, I'm here. NFL, he put the NFL on notice. Fletcher Cox even said it. Look out, NFL, because we're coming. And Carson Wentz should have said that, too, because the NFL was put on notice of Carson Wentz on Sunday. You add Golden Tate, you get all these guys healthy, we have a bye week. I think the Eagles could be ready to really, really dominate the second half of the season. We'll see if it happens. They're at 4-4 right now, but I'm confident. And I love that Howie Roseman is confident as well. And a lot of it has to do with number 11. He wanted to get another guy for number 11 because he thinks 11 can take this Eagles team deep this season. Not just into the future, but this year. I love that they're not giving up on this season. And it was big that, again, we said it yesterday. it's so huge that they got that win against Jacksonville. So big. Because it made yesterday so much fun, and it's making today fun. This is the most fun I've had on a podcast in a long time. I love doing every show, but just thinking about the possibilities of Golden Tate in this offense, just it's an offense-driven league. The defense wins championship thing, it's not a thing anymore. I mean, it can be a thing. We saw Denver do it a couple years ago, but Tom Brady threw for 500 yards in the Eagles last year in the Super Bowl, and he didn't win the game. This is an offense league now. That's what it is. That's what the NFL is. And with Golden Tate now, the Eagles are one of the most dominating offenses when it comes to weapons. They are one of the most talented offensive groups in the NFL. A couple teams I could say that might be better, the Chiefs and the Rams. Outside of that, maybe the Patriots. But you can make the argument the Eagles are better than all of them, really, truthfully. They're right there. It's 1A, 1B, and 1C with these offensive groups. And the Eagles are one of those teams, and that is such a great feeling. Such a great feeling. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. For more of our stuff, check out our podcast feed on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, anywhere that you can find the show. We are up and available. Also on the mothership, LockedOnEagles.com. If you want to recommend stuff that you want to hear on the show, or just drop us a line, you know, talk about what you heard on the show, follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiase, L-O-E, and follow Gino at Gino_L-O-E. And we'll be back tomorrow. We'll continue our Golden Tate talk. We'll get into some other stuff. And just keep looking out for LockedOnEagles.com with all our written content. We got some good stuff in that avenue coming up this week. So thank you all for listening. Please leave a 5-star rate and a review as well. We love the listener feedback as well on the show. So that's going to do it for myself, Louie DiBiase, signing off. This has been Locked On Eagles. Thanks for listening, and let's go, Birds.